All right. Good evening, everyone. We are live. It is Monday, April 1st, 2024. It's not April Fool's, though. Here in the podcast, we're actually going to do the show. We're actually going to talk about MMA, give our honest thoughts on UFC Atlantic City in the recap show, and then we'll do the preview podcast for UFC Vegas 90, the rematch between Chris Curtis and Brendan Allen. But we're going to start with UFC Vegas Atlantic City, or like I was telling Marcel, UFC, the referees fucking sucked. How about that? Worst referee card I've probably ever seen in UFC history. I don't even think it's verbally. It was fucking bad, bro. Yeah. It was bad. But anyways, before we get into it, how are you doing, man? Glad to have you here. As always.
Yeah, man. Doing well. I mean, I wasn't very happy with the late fight night on Saturday, man.
Yeah.
I didn't watch my team on Sunday because I worked till like, I think like 9 a.m. My team started to play at 12. I was like, fuck, I'm not going to sleep 3 hours. I'm going to watch.
You tape it or whatever? Or like you're
sorry?
You'll tape the game the next day?
No, I just watched the highlights. I was like, I'm okay. You know, for once, it's not that bad. But yeah, I mean, the event was kind of like, yeah, what should I say? It was just very frustrating to watch because of bad officiating, I think. But there was some fun fights. But there are also some la-la fights, I'd say.
I don't think the card was that good. I mean, that's my honest opinion. It just, like, on paper, it was supposed to be good. It had the potential to be good, but I feel like the referees really robbed us of some good fights, especially Gary Copeland, Mini Brock Lesnar, that people are saying he's like the dwarf from Lord of the Rings. That guy must be glad that the USADA wasn't testing the refs. I mean, there's no way that guy is, like, natural myself. But, yeah, a lot to talk about here, guys. I mean, I don't know. It was a weird card. Like, I think frustrating is a really good word to use because, listen, we love the fights, right? We love them, but I don't know. I feel like it wasn't just UFC caliber reffing, if that makes sense. And I understand it's not the UFC's job to hire these guys in New Jersey. That's the commission in New Jersey. But, you know, on paper, like, Shaolin Ribeiro, you know, he's an experienced guy. He's, you know, longtime fighter. And I've seen him ref in the past, and like I never thought he was like a bad ref, but on this card, Marcel was garbage. And same with Gary Copeland. I personally think Marcel Gary Copeland had the worst night of an official's ever had, personally. And you know, I know that there was that guy, Splashislav, what was his name? The guy from the Santos fight, whatever the guy's name was, right?
Yeah,
like he was bad, but he only lasted the one fight, and Dana's like, because Dana could fire them, I guess, in mid-event in Abu Dhabi. But here it's like, that can't happen, right? So I don't know, man. It was just a weird fight. And I'm looking forward to talking about some of these fights with you. But let's get some comments first, and then we'll get into it, Marcel. So we got Joe in the chat. What's up, brother? Glenn's here. Glenn, another week, another set of official screwing fighters, careers, and finances. 100%, man. 100%. Pato, what's up, brother? Glad to have you here. Antoine, what's up, man? Glad to have you here, too. Craig, what's going on, man? JP, what's up? He says he resembles a leprechaun from the 90s horror flicks. Talking about Gary Copeland. The guy's – I didn't think he was a bad ref before. Like, really, I didn't. I mean, but this event really changed my opinion about the guy, Marcel.
Yeah, one event can change everything, right?
Same with Chris Weidman. I mean, everyone hates him now, right? So, like, there's a lot of, you know – there was a lot of fuckery, I guess you could say, in this card. All right, let's just get into it, Marcel. We'll start with the main event, work our way down. As far as the picks go, I mean, it wasn't a great night of picks. I went 7-6. It was very mediocre. I missed on some dogs I thought were live. Some of the favorites I thought would win got crushed, including Aaron Blanchfield. Marcel, this fight was, man, this is not what I expected from Aaron. You know, even if she lost, I thought it'd be more competitive than this. Like, this was a clear, clear fight. Clear 50-45, really. Yeah, she just could not touch Manon. She couldn't do it, man. She couldn't get close to her. She couldn't grab her. And the one time it went to the ground, the first round, she did have that, like, guillotine. I know some people were, you know, there's some image going around saying that she tapped, but I don't think so, man. I don't think that's what happened at all. You saw that, right? People are saying that.
Yeah, I wanted to say, I think they absolutely robbed Manon Fiorot of getting her name right for once, you know? It bothers me so much, dude, on the broadcast that they keep calling her Fiorot. I mean, she's a fucking main event. You know, she's a fucking number one contender. You keep calling her Fiorot. It's not Fiorot, man.
Lucas Granchard, you know him? Lucas on Twitter. He's French. He's from France. He did a video, and I watched it. See, I'm Canadian, so when we grew up, we basically have to study French in school.
Adam Martin.
What did you say?
Adam Martin.
Martin. Yeah, I know. we basically study it. I know my last name is French, right? But like I'm part French, but it's like a very small part. I don't like associate myself necessarily. Like if you ask me, I wouldn't say I'm French, even though my last name is. But anyways, we like have to learn it. So like my pronunciation is like better, I think, than a lot of people's, but it is bothersome when it's like a main event fighter. You know, if she was just like on the prelims, like you don't really know who she is. Like, yeah. I mean, we fuck up names all the time. It's not like we're trying. I actually do go to the UFC website, the media thing. Remember I told you about that?
Yeah.
Now I look and hear the names. Like for instance, this week, that Lucas Dreschke guy, like now we know how to say his name. It's not how it's spelled. So yeah, but with Fiorot, it does bother me a little bit. But anyways, getting back to the fight, like,
yeah,
it was, bro, I had a friend come over. My friend came over. It's a guy I used to train MMA with. He's a really good friend of mine. And, you know, we watched all the fights. And then he's like, listen, I got to go home. And it was like really late. And he had to go back, you know, see his family, right? He's like, I'm just going to miss the main event. When I texted him 30 minutes later, I'm like, dude, you just missed a really shitty fight. You didn't miss any. You know what I mean? Like, because he was driving. I mean, maybe we'd feel better if we won't pick Ferro here. And we're had her by decision. Because that's definitely a possibility. But I don't think it's because we're salty for the bad pick ourselves. It's just a boring fight. It was a boring fight. But I do blame Aaron more so than Manon. Because Manon at least won the fight. Aaron didn't do anything in this fight, dude. It was disappointing, man. And I know you're a huge fan of her. And I know she's 24, but come on. It was bad.
I feel like that Aaron played in Manon's game. You know what I mean? Aaron was like rushing forward. And Manon just stepped one step back and she countered her. That's all she did, pretty much. But it was effective, you know? And what Aaron did wasn't effective. And she didn't adjust in between the rounds. She just kept doing the same.
Yep, exactly.
And even the only takedown in the fight was from Fiorot. You know what I mean? That's the crazy thing. And Aaron had her in that
crazy.
Had her in that guillotine. But she couldn't take Manon down, you know? So Manon was just physically too strong for her. Kickboxing two, three levels above her. You know, and that when the ground game isn't there and she's fighting a good striker, yeah, she was screwed, man, pretty much. I mean, yeah. After the first two, I would say after the first two rounds, I knew that Manon was going to win the decision. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, I mean, very well done by Fiorot. What can I say? And she deserves a title shot next. That's pretty obvious, I guess.
She does, even though it wasn't a great fight. She has 7 straight wins in the UFC. I mean, that's hard to do. And her win streak's way longer than that, right? She lost her debut and hasn't lost since. So she's impressive, man. There's no doubt. And she also, you know, she's 34, right? So she really is in her prime. I still think Eric can get better. She can learn from this. But, like, bro, I got to be honest with you. Like, the fighter I saw against Jessica Andrade, like, that's the fighter I thought we would get in this fight. It wasn't the same fighter at all. I don't know.
Yeah. Go ahead. The thing is, Jessica is actually also is a strawweight. Right?
I know, man. When I saw the weigh-ins, man, I kind of got a little nervous. I'm not gonna lie. I wasn't like 100% confident in Blanchfield, right? Because I know we both like Fiorot too. Like she's a good fighter, but we have to make a pick here. And I thought that Fiorot's takedown defense wouldn't hold up. But you know what's crazy?
And the cardio.
The cardio too. You know what's crazy though? If you asked us before the fight, like, who's gonna get the only takedown this fight? You said Fiorot would be like that. No one would believe you. You know what I mean? So. The fight did not – it just didn't play out the way I thought, man. I got to be honest. And, again, no adjustments made. I thought her corner did a disservice to her. Like, I think it was after – I want to say the second round, Marcel, where you were saying, like, oh, she's done. Her corner was like, okay, you did a better round. You're doing good here now. Like, you're doing a good job. Keep doing the same thing. And I'm watching. I'm like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? You know what I mean? Like, I understand some corners, they have to, like, talk to their – kind of, like, lie to their fighters to, like, encourage them. But I feel like I like the corners better that, like, a safe, like, from Fortis, where he's like – you're fucking down 2 rounds. You have to knock them out. You're going to lose. Like, I prefer that, to be honest with you.
It's much better.
Than being like, oh, yeah, you're doing a good job when you're clearly getting outpointed. It was very frustrating, man. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I agree with you. Fiorot should get the title shot, but because of this Ultimate Fighter, she's going to be delayed for a while. She's going to have to wait a year probably to get a title shot. That's the fact. Go ahead.
Yeah. And the thing is here that it's a very dangerous thing to do, because I think she deserves it, don't get me wrong, but imagine she's saying I'm waiting, you know, for that fight to happen.
Yeah.
And then they do, for example, Rose against Barber.
Yeah.
And Rose wins. Imagine Rose wins. I know she got a win over Rose, but Rose active, you know, and Rose a former champion. They're gonna give it to Rose.
I'm with you. I mean, I guess the option would be to wait it out like and then try to be the backup and hope an injury or something happens to Valentina or Gross, but that's always possible. Like, they could get injured because like, they can't keep delaying that fight. That fight's just got to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be honest with you. I don't care about this Ultimate Fighter at all. And it's funny because I was actually talking with my friend because he's training with that Tom Theo Karras guy who's on the show. So he knows Tom. And he's like, I'm going to watch because you know, this guy I know, like, that I train with is on the show. But, like, as far as the coaching part of it, Marcel, I don't care at all about their beef, Valentina and Grasso. You can spend a whole hour on that. Just,
I don't think there's even beef, to be really honest. There's not even
beef. Like, what's the point? I would rather have, like, Sean Strickland or something. Man, Strickland would be great on Top 5.
Against Adesanya. You
know? Dude, that would have been great. I mean, honestly, it would have been. I mean, I guess Adesanya's going to fight Dracus, but even, you know, Strickland, they could have found someone. Or even, like, Colby Covington. Like, again, you know, he's kind of, like, at the end of his career, but if you throw him on Top, you can get a little bit more out of him. So, yeah, I'm with you, Marcel, on everything you just said. Let me get some comments, guys. I apologize. I'm talking a lot here, but let's get to some fights, some comments about fights. Knox, what's up, brother? Luke Gates, that fight lost money. We'll talk about that in a second. Well, that's in the next fight. We'll talk about it. Russ, we're smelling the alcohol and cigarettes. Was Keith Peterson there? Did he do fight or no?
Yeah, he had fights. Yeah, fight.
So it was those three, right? Yeah. Those three? No, big Dan Rigliotta, which is kind of surprising to me. He usually does the AC cards. I'm sure he'll be on the pay-per-view in June. That's the thing. People are like, oh, they should never go back to New Jersey. They're going to go back in 2-3 months, guys. Going back. Mm-hmm. Marcus, I thought Fury's size and strength would be too much for Aaron Schiller. That fight, Tyler Santos, same advantage, but her cardio wasn't good. Yeah, that's the thing. I was kind of banking on Fury getting tired, and she didn't get her cardio tested because Aaron couldn't get a takedown. She couldn't even. Not only that, Marcel. Here's the thing. I looked at the stats again through the Santos fight. She did go 0-14 in takedowns, but she also had like 8 minutes of control where she was pushing against the fence, and I thought that she could do that to Manon. But again, the size was a factor, man. Manon's an actual. Like flyweight, could Aaron drop to 115? Like honestly,
she's not gonna do that. Her teammate Fatima Klein is at 115. She's not gonna do that.
True, she just looks small in there, bro. She did.
But the thing is, like, not only that, but I didn't expect Manon Fiorot to be so strong to keep it on the feet. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was like, Aaron will definitely get her one or two times to the ground or something. You know what I mean? But wasn't the case. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, let's get some more comments. Would you take an Aaron versus Tally? So, I mean, Marcel's two girls. I mean, there's his wife and his girlfriend. I don't know. You'd have to ask Marcel. Tough one. That's a tough one. I don't know, Marcel. I think, I don't know, honestly. I picked my own. The inspector struck up Aaron's takedown. Same. Papa Chuck, yo, guys. Great to see you guys. T2, IQ'd needs to be adopted. MMA fighting term. He's talking about like the DQ for the eye pokes. Yeah, that was bad. We'll talk about that in a sec. Yeah, Manon did well. They had to screw Manon's Furo's name after the whole Blanchfield. Oh yeah, Blanchfield thing. Were you the guy who tweeted it first? Because they did fix it. Was it you that caught it, or did someone send that to you?
Oh, like I saw. I was watching the media day interview.
Yeah.
And I look. I see Blanchfield. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
No, I was just watching it.
That's funny. Fiora's a bad match with Grasso. Yeah, well, it'd be interesting to see that fight. Blake, pure shitting this card way too hard. 8 knockouts, 5 decisions. Listen.
It's not shitting on the card more than the officiating.
Yeah, the officiating was, it kind of ruined the card for me, Blake. I mean, that's the thing, Blake. I actually tweeted the same thing. I was like, it's crazy to say this card had all these knockouts and it, like, these fights didn't go 50 minutes. They weren't just like some guy holding a dude against the fence for 50 minutes. It wasn't like that, but it still was a fucking weird card and I didn't think it was a great card. I mean, on paper, it should have been a better card. Aaron never had much of a shot winning stamp with zero takedowns in the Sam's fight itself. Again, I agree with you, but I thought that she could still push her against the fence. She couldn't do it. So that's exactly what Pato's saying here. Exactly, Pato. That's what I thought would happen, is she couldn't do it. She couldn't get close to her. Someone said it looked like Gone is fighting against Polar Bear. Someone had said it looked like a big sister versus a little sister. Like, some, you know, she's holding her toy and, you know, you couldn't get it from her. So
it kind of looked like that, yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. Tristan, what's up, brother? Yeah, no, for sure. What's up, Hype? What's going on, man? Are they trying to kill the show? What are they doing? Tough. Tough, you talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't need it. Actually, remember, it went away for a few years and they brought it back. It was gone. We were all like, oh, it's over.
Completely new format.
David's like, it's not dead. It's coming back. Dana was so fucking excited when they brought it back. Stop, Edward. I think Manon will get Grasso. Shevchenko's done. Yeah. Shevchenko is getting up there in age for sure. What's up, Zach? Zero interest in the coaches, yeah, for sure. Do you guys think it's time for Blanchfield Barber? They could. It's very possible. But again, I just think Manon really deserves. I don't think she should have to fight anyone else. I think she's earned it. You know, she's 7-0 in UFC. Yeah, she's earned it. Disagrees. No chance to tell. Give a Rose title shot. Rose, but that's the thing. Rose could be like Dustin Poirier, where, you know, it looked
right time, right moment.
Are you hearing it? Is it? I know Dustin tweeted. Is that an April Fool's or is that legit?
The thing is that I don't know if it's April Fool's or if it's done or whatever. But I'm definitely they want to do that fight, you know, because they want to have Islam fighting in June and there's nobody else available because they are all booked, you know. Yeah. So
I think it's going to happen, guys. Even though it's not fair, you know, the prelims are really good, Blake. I agree. Prelims are better than the main card. Hey, what's up, Sign Collectibles? Glad to have you here, man. Who do you think, Manon? How do you think Manon matches up with Valentina Grasso? I think she does. I think she matches up pretty well with them, to be honest. I don't know. I have to think about those fights more. You know, I think the Grasso fight would be tougher, I would think. I think she beats Valentina, though. I got to be honest, man. I think she beats Valentina. You know, Valentina's getting up there in age. And I know Manon's only a little bit younger, but, like, she hasn't really had those wars like Valentina had. You know, like that fight with Valentina and Tyler Santos, right? That's the thing, Marcel. Like, I have so much, like, I don't know if respect's the right word, but I appreciate Tyler Santos. I think she's a really good fighter. I thought she beat Valentina in that fight. So when Aaron beat her, I was like, okay, Aaron's really good. You know what I mean? Same with Andrade. I have so much appreciation. But again, Manon is a good fighter too, man. And I think she proved that. Based on what you said, I think Manon's going to sit out. Probably will. Law Edwards, June. I don't think it's June. What is it, July?
I think July. The thing is, like, many people are asking me, is this fight booked between them? I'm not sure, you know? I'm not sure. But the thing is, Bilal has been talking about wanting to have a title shot against Leon for months, for weeks. Yeah. And we haven't heard for like 2 or 3 weeks about it. So yeah. I think it's booked, you know. I think they just have to announce it still. That's what I think, but I'm not sure.
For sure. Why don't they book Islam Gamrot? Well, Dustin deserves it more than Gamrot. I mean, Gamrot's last fight with RDA was not a great performance. I mean, I think a lot of us would, and we're all fans of Gamrot, but it wasn't good. Not enough for title shot. A lot of people thought Valentina beat Grasso, but I personally don't think she's done. I don't think she's done, but I think Manon could beat her. That's what I think. I think the line would be close for that fight.
I hate it so much, man, that went to a draw, you know?
Yeah.
Man, I mean, even if it was just like score, like the fourth round was pretty much the deciding round for me. So Shevchenko could have won or Grasso could have won, and then we would have been done, man, with that fight. Now we have to wait again.
Yeah, well. Anyways, let's go back to the card. Joaquin Buckley gets an upset win here over Vicente Luque. Just smashed.
Did not see that coming.
Yeah, I didn't think the fight would play out like this. But again, Luque looked really scared of getting hit, man. And the way he pulled guard and the way he just shelled up and basically, people were saying he quit. I don't know, man. Those are some pretty hard shots. They were grounded pound. But
Adam,
Marcel, what the fuck was he doing pulling guard? That was so
stupid. I think, honestly, that the first round was pretty competitive, I felt, you know.
Yeah.
And after the second round, I think Joaquin Buckley almost landed that flying knee flush, but he didn't land the flush. And then I had the feeling that Luca was kind of, maybe it's not true, but that's my feeling, you know, when I look back at it. Maybe he was kind of afraid to get hit, you know. Remember, he came back after that brain bleed against Neil, and he fought RDA, but the RDA fight was a lot on the ground, right? It was a lot of jiu-jitsu. And this fight, he knew Buckley couldn't touch him like that. So I felt like that he was kind of afraid to get hit. I don't know for sure. It's just my opinion, what I thought. Because he still could do the butterfly guard, I felt like, or he could push him away with his feet. But he wasn't busy with that. He was just making sure he didn't get hit in the head, I felt. Yeah. So, man, I hope. Listen, man, the old Luque, this was not the old Luque we knew, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it wasn't good. I'm just looking at the scorecards. I actually haven't seen them yet. Sal Diamato scored the first round for Luque. And Colon and Torelli had it for Buckley. I think I had it for Buckley.
Close.
It was competitive. But I just looked at the stats. It was 15-15. So very close. But the second round was just, it was brutality. I mean, I thought Buckley looked good, man. I mean, there's no doubt. Like, I actually thought he'd get a bonus. Were you surprised he didn't get a bonus?
Yeah, maybe, but I was, because it was, the thing was, the finish wasn't as impressive as the other guys. You know what I mean? I think that's a problem. But it was impressive that he won against Luke in the second round.
I just think beating Luque by finishing him is big, personally. But, you know, I guess he's damaged goods now after that Jeff Neal fight. Like I told you, I had to see this fight to see if what I thought.
Yeah, you were on the fence last week. You were on the fence. I was
very much on the fence.
I wasn't. But
very much
on
the fence. Bro, I got to be honest with you. Like, I probably won't be picking him anymore. You know, if he fights strikers with decent takedown defense, I can't do it, you know. And Buckley's an athletic dude, man. He's got good takedown. He's got good wrestling. Actually, you know, a fight with Alex Barono, I mean, that was a good win for him, right? Now he's got another win over Luque. He's on a 3-fight win streak at welterweight, Marcel.
Yeah. I give him Sean Brady.
I was going to ask you. Yeah? Okay, so let me ask you this then. He wants to fight as the main event in St. Louis.
Yeah. I'll make that for Sean Brady as the main event. Yeah. But they, I know they made Derek Lewis already against Rodrigo Nascimento.
Bro, when I saw that, I'm like, oh, is it April Fool's already? Is it April Fool's? That's just not a main event. That's a terrible, terrible fucking main event. It really is a bad main event.
I just had closed out the computer because in 4 hours, the UFC was going to start, right? So it's like I'm going to lay a little bit. So I scroll. Here's your St. Louis main event. And I see already Derek Lewis. So it's like, no, please let it be Rosenstrike if it's Rulo. And I see Nascimento. It's like, guys, come on. I mean, I don't mind.
Rosenstrike made sense, but
yeah, I don't mind that fight, but not as a main event, you know?
Oh, boy. Yeah, it was... Yeah, that's all I'll say about that. It's not a good main event. All right, let's go to the next fight here. Okay, this is one we're going to have to spend a few minutes on. Chris Weidman defeats Bruno Silva via unanimous technical
Guys, Adam doesn't want to talk about this. Let's go. I'm just kidding.
No, we'll talk about it. So, first off, I mean, the fight did not play out how I thought. I thought Bruno Silva would knock out Weidman. Yeah, there was, there was one moment, I think it was at the end of the second round,
mm-hmm.
where, they started swinging bombs, and then, Bruno Silva, screamed and, grabbed Weidman's neck. It was pretty sick. I'm like, holy shit, these guys are, going to war here. Okay, but... there's a lot to talk about from this fight. So first off, again, I thought Weidman looked good. That's the thing. He actually looked really good, right? But there's just too much controversy about this one, man. It really is. And he came off as such a douchebag in his interview. He really did. He poked him in the eye 4 times in the fight. I think it was once in the first round, once in the second. I see your fucking handle now. Eye poke, you poke. First round, second round, and then third round, double eye poke. Bruno Silva goes right down. Referee doesn't see it. Calls the fight as a TKO, and then a minute later they change it to a decision. And then Weidman takes the mic and says, "Well, you're not supposed to do that. Even if you get fouled, you're not supposed to fall down." It made him look like such a douchebag, honestly. Like he's just not coming across as the guy that I kind of respected for so long. I still respect him as a fighter, and I had I put the tweet out today, and man, I had a lot of it was just interesting because for me, Marcel, I don't know what you think. To me, he's like an automatic Hall of Famer, and I'm like, I was surprised when people said he wasn't. What do you think? Am I wrong here, or what do you think?
I think those people are idiots who say that he's not. The problem is, maybe they don't like Weidman, but it's not about it, you know? He beat Silva twice. He beat Leo Tomicida. He beat Vitor Belfort. He got some good wins, man. And he beat the GOAT pretty much for many people twice. Yeah. I don't say that automatically gets you in the Hall of Fame, but he had a good run, you know, and you see until he fought Rockhold and it went downhill. Yeah. So, guys, Cerrone is in the Hall of Fame, you know?
I'm a numbers guy, Marcel, you know. I went and looked at the stats today. The only so he has 3 title defenses at middleweight, which is the third most in the division behind Adesanya and Silva, okay? So that alone is good. But not only that, I looked through all the divisions. The only fighter with more title defenses that's retired right now, and again, Weidman's not retired. I'm just saying when he retires, he'll get in. He's not going to get in as an active fighter. But the only fighter that's retired that isn't in the Hall of Fame with more than 3 title defenses, do you know who it is?
Frank Shamrock.
That's the only, and Dana White hates him, right? So that's the reason he's not in. He's obviously one of the best fighters of all time, Frank Shamrock. Again, new fans will be like, who is this guy? But you remember the guy from when he fought Tito Ortiz in that crazy fight 25 years ago or whatever? Man, he was a good fighter. Frank Shamrock, maybe not the person, is not a great guy, but I'm with you, by the way. I saw your tweet about Cedricus Dumas, or we were talking about it maybe, how, you know, you try to put that to aside from his personal life.
No, I said in the Discord, but you can say it too.
That's what it was. Yeah, so basically, there was that, we'll talk about that in a second, actually, with Dumas, but, there was that whole mugshot thing going around where he's not a nice guy, but, as a fighter, that's what we're looking at here. So, anyways, with Weidman, honestly, Marcel, I feel like it wasn't handled well by the ref. And I feel like, Marcel, that to be honest with you, dude, he had his fingers the entire time they were like this. It was when John Jones fought Glover Teixeira, mm-hmm. I want to say. He was doing it the whole time. So there's a rule now where you can't do that. And the referee just kept saying stop. He didn't even really warn him that much about that. He warned him not to actually poke him in the eye. But just the fact his hand was out like this is it's just danger. You're just standing like this. The guy's, how is he going to get in if you're just So for me, it's honestly, man, I think he should have been disqualified. I got to be honest with you. I think he should have been disqualified because it was such a 2 brutal eye pokes and it led to the finish. And it was the 4th time. And he had been warned. I don't think he was a point taken away at that point. But there was another fight at the point taken away, which we'll talk about. But well, for me, it was a great performance marred in too much controversy. And now people hate this guy. And to be honest with you, it's the guy was acting like a complete dick. You know what I mean? He could have said, guys, I'm sorry. It was an accident. We can run it back. That's what usually they say, Even if he didn't want to run it back, he could just say it. But instead, he's like, hey, man, you shouldn't have fell down after I poked you in the eye. It's like, what the fuck, dude? I don't know. What do you think, man? Let me talk. You could talk, though. Go ahead.
I mean, and maybe this is not true, but that's my feeling. I said to a friend of mine, if this is the other way around, Silva gets DQ'd in Atlantic 100%. City, you know? And the thing is, what really bothered me was that Copeland said, yeah, but you also poked him in the eye. It was like, dude, what does it matter? You know, you have to stop the fight. You cannot say, oh, he poked him, so we good. You know, fucking idiot. But shoot, listen, man, you could give him no contest, a DQ. I think should have been a DQ after four falls. You know what I mean? Yeah. So thing is, man, I have nothing against Chris Weidman, but it's not the first time he tries to pull a trick, you know? I remember against Gegard Mousasi in New York, where he was like, he thought he was a down opponent, and he got kneed in the head. And then he did like, I cannot continue. So they went to the review, actually, you know? And they say like, it were legal strikes. And so it was a TKO in for Mousasi then. And then he was pissed. So he was like, what the hell is happening here? So he quit today, but he wanted to get a quickie there. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's not the first time. And I don't dislike Weidman. I don't dislike him at all. But it's just like, why, dude? You know? Yeah, I understand why the first win since 2020. But you don't want to win like this, you know? People remember this kind of shit. You know what I mean? And I know Bruno's team will appeal the loss. And also, Dumas' team is appealing the loss. So
they're both appealing? I mean, yeah. I don't really see them winning their appeals.
No, me neither. But it's good that they're doing it, I think.
At least they're bringing some awareness to it. But yeah, I'm just looking at some comments. I mean, there's some really good comments in here. Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot, guys. But I pretty much agree with what Tristan's saying. He's just saying, like, Weidman, you know, basically made some really stupid comments. I also agree with Antoine. I would think behind Izzy and Sylvie's the third best, you know, but a lot of people say like Bisping or like Dan Henderson. Franklin. I saw some people. Mark, sorry, who?
Rich Franklin,
Ace. I mean, there's a few guys, right? Some people were saying. Well, someone said to me today, "Well, he's behind Mousasi, Romero, and Jacare and Rockhold because they knocked him out." And I'm like, okay, but look at the overall resume, though. I think, you know, in the UFC, I think Weidman's wins are better, right?
Yeah, I mean, you cannot say Dennis Holman is better than Matt Hughes. You know what I mean?
Because he beat him twice.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? Thank you. This is hilarious, by the way. Gary Copeland is the kind of guy to make up for his height insecurities by doubling his width. That's funny. He's a short dude. I mean, listen, he's got to compensate for it somehow, I guess. Like I said, I've never really thought he was like a bad ref. I'm like, oh, Gary Copeland's refing. Like, he's okay. But he just had a bad card. He had a really bad card. My only hope is, Marcel, that they're actually like talking to him in the behind the scenes and saying, hey, man, like, you fucked this fight up. You shouldn't have stopped so early. I don't know. What are you saying?
You know how my colleague calls Gary Copeland.
What?
Pocket Brock.
Pocket bro?
Brock.
Pocket Brock?
Pocket Brock.
I call him fucking Gimli, dude. He looks like Gimli from...
From Lord of the Rings. I just say Mini Brock all the time.
Yeah, no, he's like Brock for sure. Weidman, who should he fight? That's a good question. Ooh.
Rematch.
Someone had said, where's the comment? I saw Bo Nickel was a shout. And I think it's a good shout, to be honest with you. Weidman against Bo Nickel. I don't mind it. What do you think?
Weidman against Bo Nickel, yeah, why not?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. Is Weidman FCT? I mean, he's been knocked out a lot, he's been taking a lot of head trauma. I don't know about that. I mean, but you never know. I mean, I think in like 20 years, dude, a lot of these guys are going to come out and they're, you know, after they pass away and stuff. Maybe not 20 years, but like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, all these guys, like, even our legends, like, I hate to say it, but like, we're all human, we're all going to die one day, so like. You know, when they pass away, like a Chuck Liddell, for instance, or Diego Sanchez, when they actually like get to look at their brains after they pass away, you're going to see that they took, you know, they have brain trauma. It's sad, man. It's really sad. You know, that's the risk you take with the sport, though.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's no accountability at all. Manny Brock Lesnar is funny. Anyways, Weidman, I like the Bo Nickel one, but I don't know if he'd take it. I don't mind a rematch, but I don't think they'll do it. You know, because he actually was winning the fight, to be honest. It's not like he was losing the fight and then, you know, one was an eye poke. I don't know. I mean, there's some interesting fights though out there. How about like a Rodolfo Vieira would be kind of interesting, I think.
Maybe Gregory Rodriguez.
Sure. Oh, Robocop was there actually. I saw him. I'm like, yeah. Hey, it's Robocop.
and he can avenge the win for the Brazilian.
That's true. All right, go to the next fight here. We had Nursultan Rusev knocks out Cedricus Dumas. again, eye poke leading to an uppercut. He was looking good too, yeah, but a clear eye poke, and the guy went down, and he's saying, "Hey, I got poked in the eye," and the referee just didn't do anything, and then he finished him. That's the problem too, Marcel, is that I thought he looked good, and I thought he could have got a bonus, but the referee kind of fucked him out of a bonus in a way, because you can't give a bonus for that, you know? But I thought he looked good. I don't know. What do you think, man?
He did look good, man. And the thing is, like, but the KO, the eye poke led to the KO, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think the thing with Dumas is, many people hate on him because of the online things, but you gotta listen, man. If you judge a fight, you have to see that separate. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
as hard as it is, you know. And gotta say, man, I sometimes talk to Dumas sometimes in my DM, and he's always nice to me. So I only have good how do you say that? Good experience with him, but I don't know him personal, of course. But I mean, he also told me they're gonna appeal it, but it's like. The thing is, Ruzi Boyev looked really good in the fight, in my opinion, but you cannot give a win here by knockout, because I think it was a scratch or a poke, I don't know, looked like a scratch, but still, if you scratch someone over the eyeball, dude, that fucking sucks. I had it myself, so
You know what, I gotta be honest, like, I feel like he would have a more better chance of getting a no contest, because the fight was in the first round. You know, with Weidman, it was third round, right? So they're going to go to the scorecards unless they call it a DQ. Because they'll go to the scorecards. Remember, Michael Bisping fought Alan Belcher in New Jersey like 10 years ago. Yeah. And he did the same thing and went to a decision. But they didn't call the knockout first. I don't know. I think that Dumas would have a slightly better chance, but I don't think he'll get it either. I think he's going to stay as a winner for Ruzaboyev. I really like Ruzaboyev, though. Man, he looked good in the UFC. I mean, he's looked good, right? You like this guy?
He looked really good, you know. He was kind of, when he came to the UFC, he had a good record. He still has a good record, don't get me wrong. But there were really unknown fighters on his record. And when you watch the tape, was there really weird things happening sometimes, you know. But he looked good so far, man. He knocked out Bruno Ferreira and he stopped Dumas. I like to see if he challenged Jared Mershot, I think.
Love it.
Yeah, why not? And I think he trains with Joe Pyfer before and with Andre Petrosky. So, I mean, these guys know Mershar, you know?
And it makes sense. And I was looking at it, like, so Mershar has the most middleweight fights. He's got, like, I think it was 53 fights. And then
most submissions,
like, 45 or something. Yeah, but I'm just saying overall fights. Like, they have the most two fights. But, again, it's crazy with Nursultan because it's like, man, when he came to USC, I'm looking at his resume. I'm like, I don't recognize any of these guys he's fought, right? So I wasn't sure if he'd get fraud checked quickly. But, dude, he's looked good. I mean, again, he hasn't really been tested, but it's hard to get tested when you're knocking guys out in the first round, although this one was pretty controversial. I did notice that blood too. That wasn't very good. People are just saying that, you know, some their opinions on Dumas. Tristan loves him. Gwynn hates him.
I think Dumas was, by the way, bleeding out of his nose, what I saw, but maybe I'm wrong. Could be out of his eye as well, but could be wrong.
He definitely got eye poked. I'll say that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Kyle Nelson finishes Bill Algeo. Another upset win, third straight upset win for Kyle Nelson, the monster. I mean, listen, he's Canadian. Fucking dude, we have like nobody to root for these days, so of course I'm happy. But I thought this was an early stoppage, man. I thought it was a really early stoppage. Like, he didn't actually drop the guy, his legs were wobbled. And I know, you know, some people, like including Zach, I don't know if Zach, you're still in the chat, and I really respect your opinion. It's like, yeah, you know, for fighter safety, but at the same time, what's the point of even fighting then if it's just they're trying to be extra safe? Like, to me, yeah, he was hurt, but we've seen guys come back from worse, and Bill Algeo is like known for his toughness. Like, if he didn't get finished there, he could have maybe came back late, like with better cardio, right? So I feel like he kind of got robbed of the chance to come back and win. Now, he definitely got clipped. Nelson did look good. He was laying some big shots. And I know they're cool about it. There was that, they posted that video in the elevator, and Algeo was like cool with Nelson. There's no issue there. But I personally thought it was an early stoppage. What do you think?
So when I saw it initially, I was like, yeah, it's okay. But then I watched the replay and I was like, they could have gone a little bit more, you know. What the hell is up with Kyle Nelson as of lately, dude? I mean,
is
that his twin brother, Niall Nelson, or something, you know? I mean,
it's the beard and it's the dad strength. He's just,
I think it is. But I think he's a super nice guy as well. So I'm happy for him. But the thing is, like, the referee should have let this continue a little bit more. Although Nelson was looking really good, in my opinion. He wobbled him early on. Yeah. And then he got the finish. Yeah, the finish. He won, you know? And this is a very, very good win for him, man.
I think so.
Yeah, I think he had a great year last year, and he started the year great as well. So, yeah, good for him. I'm happy for you Canadian guys. You have somebody to root for right now.
Because the truth is, man, he started his career in the UFC, was it 1-4, I want to say?
Yeah, he was on the first to get cut.
You know? 1-4 and one draw.
I think he would have got cut if he lost to the Duhu Choi, but he got lucky, I think, that Duhu Choi got a point deducted.
And they after that, they're like, all right, we'll give you another one. And then he goes and upsets Builder, upsets Padilla, upsets Aljo.
Yeah.
He's looked good. I mean, is it enough to get a ranked guy? Could he get a ranked guy after this win streak?
I feel like it's maybe a little bit too early because 145 is so is so deep. Yeah, I think this is maybe a little bit too early. But, man, he's on his way. You know, what can you say? Yeah. He's really turning the tables here. So, yeah.
I'm just looking at the rankings again. You know, he could fight maybe the winner of, like, Alexander Hernandez and Damon Jackson this weekend. That could be a fight. Andre Feely, someone like that. You know, someone that's not ranked, but also like a respectable name, I guess. Hakeem Dawoodu would be interesting, although I don't think they would do two Canadians against each other. I doubt that.
At least if one guy was winning.
Yeah, true. But no, there's some good fights for him. Julian Arosa would be a fun fight. I don't think they fought before, have they? I don't think they fought.
No,
that'd be fun, right? So. That'd be a good one. I like that one.
Yeah.
Anyways, he deserves a decent name. Even like Charles Jourdain is Canadian, but I mean, it'd be a fun fight, you know? So.
Oh, wait, what the DXJC56 says, he called out Nate Landwehr. Why not?
Oh, yeah, he did call Nate Landwehr. Yeah, that's right. Sure. I mean, that would be good too, right? I got to be honest, when they did the bout order and this was on the main card and that fight was on the prelims, I was like, why is Nate Landwehr on the prelims? But they like Kyle Nelson. They see something in him, and he's definitely turned around, man. I got to be honest, Marcel, I wasn't sure what to think about this guy because, like, the last couple fights he won, but it wasn't, like, super impressive. But the UFC, then they put him on the main card, and it's like, okay, maybe the matchmaker saw something we didn't, and they clearly did. He clearly has improved.
I think it was on the main card because Bill Elger, to be really honest. But
Kyle that's Nelson, true, because he's from King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. Yeah. It's a crazy name for a town.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. If you come somewhere, where are you from, King of Prussia?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I was going to say, though, the guy I was watching the card with, my friend, right? Like, again, he does some amateur Muay Thai and stuff. He was telling me that he had an amateur Muay Thai fight, like maybe it was a couple years ago, and he's like, he looked up, and Kyle Nelson was on the other guy's corner because he was cornered by Cruel Lin and Kyle Nelson from House of Champions. So, because again, that's like an hour from where I am, right, in Hamilton. It's not far. So it's cool. It's cool to see a guy that, you know, it's so weird, man. I'm telling you. By the way, that's the same guy that met Sean Strickland and Chris Curtis I was talking about last week. So it's just crazy. Like, it's such a small world. You know what I mean? This MMA community, it's a small community, you know? All right, a couple comments. Yeah, I mean, it's funny to say fire safety and watch people punch on their face. Dude, exactly, Zach. Exactly. Octagon updates, what's up, man? Oh, yeah, this is a good example, too. Suma Darji versus Matt Schnell. I mean, they could have easily stopped that fight. You know what I mean? I'm completely with Glenn, too. I'm completely with Glenn. When they're against the fence and the guy, like, Adesanya versus Pereira is a great example of that. Like, that... I know some people said that was early. I don't think it was. I think that fight, like, it's maybe a slight smidge early, but there's other. Anyways, the point is, you can't move, right? He was in the middle of the octagon. He could have pulled guard. He could have, you know, went for a takedown. He could have been dropped and rolled back. I don't know. I just think the ref stopped it early.
Personally. I always think about the Dave Monet Phil Baroni one, man.
Yeah, that's another one too. I mean that he was definitely on steroids for that fight. I'll just say that. Bill gets robbed of a chance of a comeback win. That's the thing. I feel like Kyle got robbed of potentially getting 50K here, Marcel, because I think he could have got a crazy knockout.
Yeah,
the refs fucked him. So, yeah, it's true, Zach. Ref could wait for – he didn't – there was no knockdown at all. That's the thing. He didn't knock him down once. He did rock him, but he didn't actually drop him. I looked at the stats. I felt lucky cashing Nelson at plus 1,000. I mean, that's a good ticket, though, man. Like, it was a great bet. You know, to be honest, it was a really, really fucking good bet. King of Prussia is basically known for the giant mall. That's a crazy name for a town. They were called a Bryce Mitchell. I did see that too. Yeah. So, all right. Next fight. Go back. Oh, the main card opener. I mean, there was some fuckery here. We're waiting, and I'm like, no way this is going to be a split decision. You're waiting like 10 minutes for the scorecards. Chidi wins by split decision. I mean, the judge that scored it for him, I'm like, who is Muna Quidero, but apparently that's Muna Holland, who's fighting like Invicta, and she completely changed her name. I'm like, who is this? Like, the name is completely different.
I think her real name is Maimuna, and she always fought with Muna. And I think the last name is now her man's name, I think, you know, and it's not
the, that makes sense. But yeah, the whole thing, I'm like, who is this judge? I was like, what the fuck? And I looked and I'm like, oh, they've judged a lot. But then I realized it was her, right? So I think it was a horrible scorecard, though. There's just no way you can give that fight to McKee. What do you think?
I was like, why the fuck does it take so long, man? It was pretty easy to score that fight, you know? So
how did you score, actually? Did you give the first round to McKee or no?
I was like, it's a toss-up. I just gave 2 and 3 to the Njokuani. The thing is
clear,
like...
Clear.
By the way, I had a good pick, man, last week. I had Njokuani by decision.
Dude, that was a crazy pick. I thought you were nuts. I'm like, I remember last year, I'm like, really? Really? And you're like, yeah. So, you know what? That's just proof you guys stick to your guns sometimes. But yeah, just looking at the stats, Njokuani outstruck him in all three rounds. The first round I thought was close, though, you know, but the second and third were clear. So, especially when you heard 30-27, you get 2 30-27s and then 1 29-28 the other side. That's just fucking terrible. That's just so bad. And again, are they even going to say anything to this judge? They're going to be like, hey, you got to, you know, score the fights better. They probably don't even give a shit. At least they got the winner right. I'll say that.
Yeah.
You know, because I did see there was a tweet. I can't remember who made this tweet, but it was a little while ago, talking about judging and how, you know, it'd be nice to get 5 judges, right? And it would be. But even with three, you do have a fail safe built in because it's not just one guy, it's three or girl, you know? So if 2 of the 3 agree, then it's like, okay, thank God. Because you never know, though, man. You might have 2 idiots out of the 3 that you just randomly took 2 idiots. So that's why I like the 5 better, but they'll never pay the extra money for that. I saw Clint's tweet. You know what? Like, we've seen worse scorecards, to be honest with you, like, by these judges. So, like, I didn't agree with Clint, but I thought maybe 3-1. I thought, did you think Erin won any round? Did you give her
maybe the fourth, but
that was the fourth that I thought maybe she'll win this round. Like,
the problem here is, yeah,
I got a pity.
and I like Clint a lot, but the problem here is that Clint picked probably Blanchfield, you know, and then. So every small thing some cappers can take, they will favor the fighter they picked, you know? Yeah. And that's why there's always so many BS on Twitter and on the socials. You got to be honest, man, with your scorecards. Yeah. You know, in my opinion, 3-1 is possible. 4-0 should be, but 2-2 is awful.
I mean, I'm with you. All right. Let's go to the next fight. It was now we're on the prelims. Yeah, Nate Landwehr knocks out Jamal Emmers. So, yeah, I mean, Nate's looked great. I mean, other than the Dan Ige fight in the last fight, he's really, you know, looked like a great fighter the last couple of years. Man, he's exciting. He's got 4 bonuses now. He's a new dad, too. Huge win for him, man. Fucking huge. Again, I don't mind that Kyle Nelson fight, but I also feel like Nate could get a top 15 guy again. I mean, I know he did lose to Ige, but man, this guy puts on good fights. Like, you're guaranteed a banger with this dude, man. I really like this guy. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, he's fun to watch, you know. And I thought that he was overmatching the first 3 minutes, you know, because Emmers looked like a world beater. And then out of nowhere, Nate got Nate, you know. Nate went Landwehr on Emmers. And, he won. He looked a good comeback win for him. The thing is, like, Nate Landwehr, I don't know, dude. I like him a lot. He's fun to watch. He's fun on the mic. But I'm not sure, you know. I still think if he gets a level up, and we saw it in the Dan Ige fight, that he's not going to make it. You know what I mean? And I still think the Ludovic Klein win is still the best win he has, in my opinion.
It's a good win.
Yeah. But really I don't see him making that top 15 thing. Yeah. Maybe if they match him up with somebody who is, like, stylistically match up good with him, you know, then he can make that jump to the top 15. But I don't see him getting into the top 10, to be really honest. But he's an entertaining fighter, definitely.
He's got a good personality. He had a really good post-fight interview. Looking at the rankings, I mean, he could beat Alex Caceres. That's 15. He could beat him.
Yeah, but pretty much, listen, Alex Caceres is the kind of guy who can pretty much win against anybody in the top 15, top 25, but also can lose against anybody in the top 15, top 25.
I got to tell you, man, Alex Caceres being ranked this many years after his debut is really impressive.
Impressive.
I mean, he's a true veteran, dude. Good for him, man.
I remember when I was back at MMA DNA in 2020 or 2021, I always made the profiles on the websites for the top 15 guys. And when Alex Caceres came in the top 15, I was like, I'm not going to make that profile right now because he will be out in 2 weeks probably, you know?
He's still there. I agree. Anyways, just, you know, I think that Nate, he could beat him. I think he could beat Yusuf as well. And I mean, maybe Barboza, but that's a tough fight.
I'd favor Sadiq against him, to be honest.
Probably too. I think the only guy that, if on the odds, he'd be favored against is probably Caceres.
By the way, Tristan is right. Caceres not even.
I didn't even see a comment. Sorry, Tristan. I was looking at this fight.
Yeah, he's booked against
Woodson. Yeah, he's fighting him. I'm just saying that's the only guy he could beat. I know he's fighting Woodson. Maybe if he beats Woodson. Although, to be honest, I mean, Woodson deserves a shot. You know what's crazy? There was that guy that got cut after he had that draw with Woodson, but he should have knocked him out. He jumped on top of the fence. What's that guy's name? Luis Saldana? That's his name?
Oh, yeah.
He got cut, but dude, he beat Woodson, and then the fight wasn't actually stopped or something. Like, remember that? Yeah. Crazy. Now he's not in the UFC anymore. It's really fucking crazy. I completely agree with this too. If Murphy pulls out, he should step in and fight Barboza. That'd be a fucking war. It'd be a good fucking war. If Bruce Lee wins, it's a war. I think any of those fights make sense. I don't mind the Kyle Nelson fight. I think it'd be a fun fight, but I think they both kind of deserve, you know, ranked guys, especially though Nate, because I know he wasn't up much on the card. But again, Marcel, the way he's beating these guys, like knocks out Emmers, submits Lingo. He has that crazy war with Onamba where he comes back from the dead. I mean, that was an insane fight too. And the fight over Nate Ludovic Klein is aging really well, dude. Really well. It's crazy though because he gets knocked by Herbert Burns, who like we know now is kind of, you know, not that good, and then he gets destroyed by him. And I'm like, okay, I thought he lost to Darren Elkins. I got to be honest with you, man, I really did. You remember that fight with Darren Elkins? Like Darren's face was bleeding, and so that's where the judges probably went with him.
I still think Elkins won. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. So, anyways, let's go back to the card. Dude, I didn't see this coming either. Verna Janjarova defeats Lubi Cadenas by decision. Verna looked good in this fight. Verna's a fighter that, I mean, clearly I underrated coming into this one. I thought this would be a good matchup for Lubi, dude, and it turned out not to be at all. She didn't look good at all. The judges had it 30-27 and 29-28 times two. I had it 2-1 as well for Janjarova.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Lupi gets these steps up in competition, just can't take that next step. Like when she fought Angela Hill and now this fight. I don't know, man. And her fight IQ is really questionable too in her fights. I'm not sure what to think about her anymore. What do you think, dude?
Keith Shannon pretty much said it in the Sure Dog podcast. He's like, listen, man, Lupi, physically and also talented, she has it pretty much, you know, but she makes these weird decisions sometimes in fights, and it costs her fights, you know, and it costs her also this fight. I think Janjarova did really well what she did, and she deserved to win. And to be honest, listen, I like Lupi a lot, but I'm also happy for Verna. You know, Verna's always very underrated. She only lost to three people in the UFC. She lost to Carla Esparza, to Mackenzie Dern, and to what's her name again? The other grappler. What's her name again?
Hibas.
Yeah, Amanda Ribas. Yeah, my God. She lost to these three. It's not that bad, you know. No. I would match her against Amanda Lemos next.
Them fire makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, Lupi, though. I mean, I think this was like, I think personally, man, this is where the matchmakers, I think, fall off the bandwagon too. I think they're like, all right, we've given you a couple chances now. It's, you know, you're a good fighter, but not good enough for the top 10.
I still think she leveled up at Lobo, you know? I still think she did. But, I mean, I don't know how much of a jump she can still make, so we'll see.
I was just disappointed. Lupi's good at fights like a dumbass. I mean, her fight IQ is definitely questionable. It really is. Bronze there with Lupi, the 20. Did he say that? I like it a lot. I mean, I didn't see that scorecard. I don't agree with it at all. I mean, I'm sure he got shit on in the comments. Yeah, I mean, Aaron's a good dude. I've hung out with him so many times, and, like, it's crazy because, like, you know, back in the day, so I remember me and him, we watched TJ Dillashaw versus, what's that guy's name? He One Day Notice. What's the guy's name?
Oh, Joe Soto.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Pornhub because you were smiling before you would say
I'm just saying because, like, that is a horrible main event. But the co-main event was Danny Castillo versus Tony Ferguson.
Yeah.
And Danny had top control the whole time. Tony was going for subs and doing damage. And we were like, Tony won that fight. And he did. And then, you know, now that they've actually kind of like made that more of something that they talk about now with these judging courses, like, hey, like you're supposed to score these guys from the bottom. Like, I always remember that fight where me and Aaron were on the same page, and this was 10 years ago. But now I feel like, you know, maybe it's not just Aaron either. It's just a lot of guys on Twitter are just like, they're overcompensating kind of for like the damage over like these positions on the ground. I mean, I still think that advancing positions, getting dominant positions, stuff matters still, dude. You know what I mean? It's still MMA.
It's not fucking kickboxing, you know?
Exactly. So anyways, yeah, Aaron's a good dude though, man. Trust me. Yeah, I don't agree with that scorecard. I just like I didn't agree with John's last week with Heboss, 30-27. I think he was trolling. I think John was trolling.
I mean, but even us too, we sometimes we don't agree about
I'm sure there's some scorecards we've had that we want back. I mean, there's definitely some ones, right? So
yeah.
Anyways, getting back to the cards, let's finish off these prelims. Julio Arce knocks out Herbert Burns. Herbert Burns is getting cut, right? There's no way he gets another fight, right?
I mean, he's Gilbert's brother, so I don't know, but I would say not probably.
Bro, three straight knockout losses, and he doesn't really put up a fight. Now, I will say this. By the way, I didn't ask you. Landwehr Emmers, you okay with that stoppage? You good with that one, Landwehr Emmers?
Yeah.
Okay, how about this fight?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You weren't?
I thought it was a tad early.
Man, I mean, let's be honest. If he continues 10 seconds longer, he would be stopped as well, you know? So,
yeah, but that's the thing. I don't think it would change the fight. That's why I'm not like upset quite like at all. And I don't even care. I just want to hear your thoughts. It's not, this is not a hill I'm willing to die on. But unlike the Aljo and Nelson fight, where I really feel like the fight could have been different if they let it continue, I really think so, you know?
You said Emers Landwehr, man. You didn't
say that one. No, I'm talking about, I know, I'm saying that one is one because there's three. To me, there was a lot of people were talking about these two fights being stopped a little quick. I don't think they were as like egregious as the Nelson Aljo fight.
Let's be honest, it pretty much went how we said it, you know. Herbert would try to get the fight to the ground. Yeah. But Arce is not easy to take down, you know. I said last week, Shane Burgos always tells me, you can't take the guy down, and when you're able to get him down, try to keep him down, you know. It's hard. And
he came in this fight with 95% takedown defense, and now it's 96 now because he stopped six takedowns. So it's like basically he's like one of the best takedown defense, not only now in this division, but of all time in the UFC, which is really insane.
I remember when he debuted, I remember Dan Ige was pretty much more known for his ground game than he was for striking back then. And Dan couldn't take him down, and Arce won his debut against Dan back then. So the only thing that with Arce wasn't good is that he was overweight. He was 1 pound too heavy.
Yeah.
And it was crazy because he went from 135 to 145. I got told what happened, but I'm not allowed to disclose.
You know what's crazy, though, is that when he stepped on for the second time, he was actually heavier.
Yeah.
So I don't know 25. If he went for like a McMuffin or something and put on half a pound or something like that. But yeah, it was bad. getting back to the card. Yeah, Dennis Bazookia gets a bonus. Happy for Dennis here, man. Gets a well-deserved bonus. A guy who's worked so hard to get in the UFC finally is here, finally gets a first win. Yeah, he looked fucking great, right? What'd you think?
Yeah, and I got the perfect opponent for him, dude. Jarno Arons.
Dude, I mean, that could be fight of the night, right?
Yeah, both are 1-2 in the UFC, so let's Jarno's go.
Tough, too. Yeah, I mean, someone's going to be 1-3. But by the way, is Jarno, you would know this, did he get re-signed, like, to a new contract, or?
He has a 4-5 deal, so he still has one on his contract, but I don't think
he's going to, like, try to sign them to an extension at that point,
haven't heard anything. He would have told me, so.
We'll see. Yeah, exactly. By the way, I forget these comments. Verna's out of nowhere title run. It's surprising to me, but she's definitely. I didn't think her. This is the thing. Like, I thought the ground would be interesting there, but I didn't think her striking was as good as it was. And she was the better striker in that fight. It was really surprising to see. Herbert was quitting. Yeah, I agree with that. All right. A couple other fights here. Fight of the night. Ibo Aslan knocks out Anton Tricali, third round knockout. Anton goes 0-4 in the UFC. He's one of the few guys that go 0-4, but he did win two fight of the night bonuses.
Yeah.
For fights,
yeah.
So. It's interesting. Like, they might give him one more fight. It's possible because he went two fight of the night bonuses in four fights, but he's been knocked out or stopped in three of those fights. So it's like he's getting finished almost every fight too. Ibo, you know, it was a back and forth fight. I actually want to see the scorecards on this one. I would assume they were like 1-1 or something.
I haven't checked it. I will
see. Yeah, I haven't seen it either. Let's take a look. By the way, we forgot to talk about the other fight too. The Herbert Burns and Julio Arce fight, just really quick. There was also a point deduction for a low blow, which was Gary Copeland. So he had no problem doing the low blow, but not for the eye poke and the eye blow. By the way, Sal Diamato scored the first round for Herbert Burns, so it actually was a 9-9 scorecard for him.
Wow. So Ibo Aslan, 10-9 by Adrian Castro in the first and second round for both for Aslan. Sal Diamato, 10-9, both for Aslan. And Mumuna Quirido, 10-9 for Tukal and 10-9 for Aslan.
I think it could have been 1-1, but I just...
I agree, actually.
If I have their scorecard, I'm not too thrilled about it. Yeah, I mean, Ibo's a fun guy. You know, good post-fight interview as well. I still think this guy's ceiling's very high. I think he's going to, you know, get finished at some point by good strikers. But, I mean, he's better than Tricali. Tricali's, like, really not UFC caliber, I don't think, man. Give me your thoughts at all. Yeah,
I don't know what Turkali, man. I mean, he should have won this fight, to be honest, in the first round, I think. And after that, Ibo took also a lot of damage, man. He almost had his eye closed, but he won. It was a knockout. His eyes rolled back in his head. But I feel the same way, man. I think Aslan is a fun guy to watch, but I think when the division or when the competition gets stronger, he will probably have a much more difficult time in the octagon. But we'll see, man. I mean, happy to see a new guy coming up. First guy from Turkey born. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was another Turkish guy in the UFC, is Gökhan Saki, but he was born in.
Well, there's another guy, Alp Oskalic. There was that guy.
Oh yeah, Alptekin Oskalic. Yeah.
Yeah, he's actually Turkish, like, because I know Gokhan's Dutch, right? But they said it was the first Dutch fighter. They completely forgot about Alp. And I saw.
Yeah, and he's born in Turkey as well. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so they completely forgot about him, but you know. So like, unless you like are a nerd like us who's watched it forever, you wouldn't know who that guy is. Yeah. That guy was a fun flyer. He had a good fight. I want to say with John Lineker. Didn't he have a good fight with him?
He was more in the beginning of the flyweight division. He was there, right?
Yeah. Aslan looked like a moderate grinder. I saw some people saying that. I mean, but I don't know. I mean, if he does, then too bad, I guess, you know. No striking defense, not at all. So do you give Antoine one more fight or you cut him?
I think based on this crazy fight, maybe I would give him one more, but to be really honest, he shouldn't, you know.
I think they're going to give him one more. I actually think they will, because he did win two bonuses, right? So
what Nox says, right?
That's so funny. Oh, yeah, first Cameron, like we forgot Francis. Francis Ngannou, who's that? We don't know who that is.
Or so could you. Never heard of him.
Was he Nigerian, though, or is he Cameron? Oh, he's from Cameroon, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh my god, they forgot both of them. Oh my god. Anyways, getting back to the card, Jacob Malku knocks out Andrei Petrosky. A very weird knockout. Apparently, Petrosky like knocked himself out, hitting the temple on the hip of Malku, going for a takedown. Then Malku like kicked him in the body brutally, and then he started like pouring blood out of his mouth. It was brutal to watch. I don't know. Malku, then I thought you know this fight would be a grind. It kind of turned to a striking battle. Like it actually wasn't a bad fight.
Yeah.
What do you think of Jacob Malku? He's had a weird career, man. He comes in there and gets knocked about 18 seconds by Hawes. You're like, okay, this guy sucks. And then he goes and beats Abdul Razak Al-San, big upset. Then he beats Dobson, expected to win. Then he should have beaten Brendan Allen, but he loses. He beats Mick Maximov in a fight where Maximov got hurt in like the first minute. He's destroying Cody Brundage and then gets DQ'd. And then he goes and beats Petrosky in this weird knockout. Dude, this guy's had a weird career, man.
Kind of make me remember, like, do you remember Matt Littland against fellow Nico Vitale years ago?
What happened?
Littland went for a takedown and he ducked his head full on the canvas and he was not out against fellow Nico Vitale. Really weird fight. That was years ago.
Matt DeLong Littland.
Yeah, and you got Emerson against Gray Maynard, where Maynard went for a takedown and Emerson was also in pain. I think it was a no contest back then. Some really weird things sometimes happen, you know, and Malkoon. He was like, "You have a bony hip." I was like, "Dude, shut up! What the hell?"
He's fucking around.
Yeah, I know. I felt bad for Petrosky, man. You know, but at the same time, he can come back. We'll see, man. We'll see.
Yeah, no, I agree. But what do you think for Malku? Like, I mean,
I don't know where to place this dude. You know,
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm looking at the middleweight division.
Fuck! Give him Andre Muniz.
Yeah, they could do that fight. I'm just looking at some other guys. That fight makes sense, actually. There's a lot of like middleweights right now, you know. Interesting. I think you got to match him with grapplers at this point, though, like just to test the striking out.
If Malku is the ultimate troll, he got the next walkout song. He comes out with "Hips Don't Lie" from Shakira.
Oh my god, you should do it. All right, last fight on the card for first. I should say. Yeah. Well. We missed a fight too. I mean, if I got canceled right from the walkout, Victoria Kudakova and Melissa Scott, what happened? You know?
No, I reached out to her management and I was like, I hope all is well with her. And they told me like, no, it's not well with her. We don't know what's up right now. I was like, okay, wish her all the best. He's like, yeah, thanks, I appreciate it. Haven't heard since, and I think Victoria posted yesterday a statement that she did feel bad and she took a pill or something. I don't know exactly, but. Yeah, it sucks, man. And it also sucks for Gato, you know? You do a full training camp and then you can't fight. But, yeah, we'll see what's next, you know? But it kind of sucked because we have a big Turkish community in the Netherlands, you know? And the fight between Turkal and Aslan, we have the last 2 hours of the prelims at Discovery Plus. That would be falling into those last 2 hours. And now it was earlier, so we are missing the first round of that fight, which fucking sucks.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It does suck. I guess the last fight we didn't talk about, obviously, the opening card bout, opening preliminary card bout. I'll get this guy's name. Kalen Lochran. Is that how you say it? Am I doing it right now?
Kalen Lochran, I think, yeah.
Okay, I think we got it right. Okay, finally. I didn't know how to say his first name, but I think it's Kalen. He looked great. I mean, right? He looked great, the Don. Angel Pacheco is one of these guys who's just like, he's just too tough for his own good. He kind of reminds me of Diego Sanchez a bit before he lost his chin, dude. And I know it's like, you know, he's showing off an amazing chin in his two fights, guys, but I have a feeling that, like, once he gets knocked out, he's going to get knocked out every single fight. And I think it's going to come soon because his first two fights in, well, not, you know, Contender Series and UFC, Marcel, he's eaten over 300 significant strikes in two fights. 344 in two fights. That's insane. That's, like, you can't – bro, he's absorbing 11 and a half strikes a minute. Now, again, very tough guy. All the credit for this guy for surviving. I think a lot of fighters would have, you know, quit. Not even quit, just you're just getting hurt so bad. It's just, you know, you just turtle up and lose. Like, kind of like Luque, but you know what I mean? Credit to this guy, man, for really just like pushing and pushing. He did actually land some good punches too in the third round.
Oh, yeah.
He did. A little bit tired. I was like, okay, you never know, right? Like, we've seen crazier things, but Kalen gets the win. And I thought he looked great. And I like this kid. It's a good prospect. He's 24, I want to say.
He's not that old.
26 or 27. He's a little older than I thought, actually. 27. I thought he was younger for some reason, but
Irish Vittori.
Yeah. I mean, dude, he gets Taylor Lapolis is a pretty tough debut in France. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's a hard debut. I think he's decent, man. So I don't know. Any last thoughts on this fight?
He asked for Raul Rosas.
Sure.
I mean, why not? He's like, I feel like a dick calling an 18-year-old out, but why not? I like it, no problem, you know.
I don't know this teenager, but he's in the UFC, so. Yeah. Is that fight not happening with Ricky Turcios? So that's not going to happen?
I don't think so.
Do they pay Ricky?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Whole thing is so weird, man. And then they announce the fight.
And the other day, I don't know if you know Bert MMA on Instagram, guy, and he posted something. About that, what was that? That Almeida Volkov one that got pulled back, and then they made the Volkov Pavlovich one. And he posted, and then some guy is like, yeah, if it doesn't come from the UFC or Dana himself, it's all false news. I was like, good dude, son. Which are Turcios and Rosas coming from Dana? Absolutely.
It was fake news for sure.
Yeah. So
I hope they rebook the fight too, by the way, Gato and through the COVID. They should. Also, this is a good point for Glenn. A lot of the DraftKings guys, because you know, you pick a team, Marcel, and then once the card starts, you can't change your team. So
yeah, that sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you lose money. Like if you had her in your lineup, you're like, oh man, I just gave away money basically. And that's no one's fault. Marcel or Marcus always asks us this great question.
Who stocks up
the most? Blanchfield.
Yeah.
No, I hate to say Luque, Blanchfield. I'm just kind of looking through. I mean, there's a lot of Loopy. I think Loopy, another one, personally.
Yeah.
And then there's other ones that, like Bruno Silva, too. I mean, he was a big favorite and lost. Yeah.
That fight should have been on the main card, Loopy against Verena, man. It's like they didn't want to highlight Verena or Loopy, man. It's really weird.
Verena should get a main card fight. She's good, man. You know, and I've kind of underrated her over the years. Do you guys think UFC announces fights while telling the fighters to avoid journalists breaking news? Maybe. Maybe.
I think.
Sorry.
I think they just now are like when Dana, he's probably gonna, he's meeting with the matchmakers and then they're making that fight. Yeah. And then before it gets like signed, he's already announcing it. So nobody else can announce it. You know what I mean?
I've got the questions. I just want to ask you, and I always do, like, what do you think you would rate this card out of 10, the Atlantic City?
A 6.5.
I think I go 6, but man, it was like a lower 6 for me. It just wasn't what the card I thought.
The 0.5 right, is probably because I had some nice food during the fight.
Guys. There you go. There you go. Any updates on any of these guys? Grom, Romanov, Tabura. Any updates?
0-0. I'm sorry, dude. Nothing.
Apology is Paris for September 28th. Any truth? Any day for Manchester?
The Paris card is, I don't think it's done, but it's definitely going to happen around that time. And the Manchester card, yeah, it's either July 20th or July 27th. I'm hearing July 20th, but I'm just waiting for the official announcement because too many question marks there, man.
Didn't Dana announce this last week with that guy?
No, he just said that it would be a pay-per-view.
Okay, I didn't actually see the interview, so I wasn't sure. I understand why they do it, but it's also annoying how they wait until the main card starts when a fight is on the main card is off. I agree. By the way, this card shouldn't have started so late. It was started really late, and I felt so tired after this one. You know, it just dragged on, eh?
Was there something on ESPN? Because this is big ESPN card.
That's was there basketball guys in the
States? Probably, man. Just annoying, you know?
The NCAA tournament? It might have been. Like, I don't know, because I live in Canada. So for me, it's like, I don't watch college basketball. Nothing wrong with it. It's just not for me.
It's like 2 weeks in a row, man, that was late.
For sure. Should UFC book Fury or Barber? No. I think Fury doesn't have to fight again.
Definitely not against Barber.
I agree. It's going to be Bilal, Leon, and then Tom and Curtis, right?
Yeah.
I think
Tom will headline. Yeah.
Oh, Tom's going to headline as the interim champ. Yeah. Is he the bigger name or bigger draw?
Yeah.
Even though Leon's like one of the greatest welterweights of all time.
I really think Tom is going to headline. But
actually, not that Tom isn't one of the best heavyweights. I mean, Tom's one of the best heavyweights. I would say that now. He's just so good, right? And he's a big star, you know, for them.
Is Tom not also born in Manchester? Or is he from Liverpool?
He might be.
Let me check before
we. Yeah, no problem. You'd know more than me. Have you been to England, Marcel, or no?
No, I haven't been in England. Oh, he's from Salford. I don't know where that is. Oh, wait. Salford, Greater Manchester. Yeah.
Oh, it is. There you go. You've been to France? You went to France, right?
Yeah, I've been to Paris in 2005 or 2006 with my school. Nice. Was an amazing time, man.
I
really regret. We were like at the palace from Versailles, I think, you know, mm-hmm. And you have the gardens and you have the inside of the palace. And it was a very hot day that day. And we had to do like some tasks, you know, and you had one task was in the garden and one task was in the palace. And we did the garden, but we were fucking tired, dude. So everybody was in the palace. They got our task and vice versa. And we just wrote it from each other, you know. And when I look back at it, that's like, motherfucker, you were there. You know, and you didn't went into the palace. You're a fucking dumb fuck, you know what I mean? So, but the Louvre, man, I tell you right now, if you have a 13 or 14-year-old, if your daughter is older and you go to Paris.
I'd like to go.
Yeah, but don't go to the Louvre with her. It's fucking boring.
But I read that book, Da Vinci Code, all those years ago, and I would have to see it, right?
Yeah, honestly,
I'd like to go with her one day.
It's such a small painting, dude.
I believe it. I had her today. Marcel saw her on the stream before we started. She didn't want to leave. She wanted to be on the stream. UFC. I'm just going to take a few more questions, guys. We got to start the preview in a second here. They do it all the time. Matchmaker, Manchester card. I think the two title fights, Capato, I have to think about the other ones, but any English fighter is going to be in the card.
Paddy will be on it. Michael Herbert will be on it.
Nathaniel Allen. Wood. Yeah.
Any
of those guys. Yeah, no, I agree. It's March Madness, I thought. UFC Manchester when you get 100,000 followers. Marcel's close. He's very close. You're like 92 or something, almost, or something like that.
91, 92, but kind of stagnated at a certain moment.
At some point it does. I mean, I'm stuck at like 12, and it's been like that for a few years now. I don't have as much to provide as you do with all your fight announcements, man.
I told you last week, man, when at a certain moment, I think in 24 hours, I got like 200, 300 plus followers. Yeah. I was like, what the hell? And then I hear that MMA guru pretty much shout me out. So
that's cool.
That's what's nice.
Good for you, man. Volkov Pavlovich isn't official according to them. Yeah, I saw that. They did see that. Baki, I think, did sign with the UFC, right?
I've seen it, but I don't know if it's 100% legit.
I heard he had a one-fight deal with PFL, so I think it makes sense. We won't see a rematch, which kind of sucks, but you make 100K. By the way, Dana's probably going to be like, didn't you see he beat Duambe in PFL? Like, we don't want Duambe. We don't want him. Doumbé. I keep saying his fucking name wrong. God, he's such a good fighter, too. Cedric Doumbé. I think that's how you say it. All right, let's end this podcast. We're going to start the preview, guys, so appreciate everyone joining us. Went a little bit over the hour here, but no big deal. We'll jump in the preview podcast in just a minute here. Anything else you really want to wrap up with here, Marcel, before we start the next show?
I'll just watch the next one.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, guys, I'm going to start it up. Give me a minute and I'll tweet it out.